AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
You cannot lose when it's your time to win.
Champion mentality is so much more than just being a champion and showing up and doing the work. It's about doing the work when no one's watching, doing the work when you don't want to. It's doing the hard things in life of getting better and better every single day. Not about winning and being the best in the world, but being the best version of yourself.
Whatever I'm afraid to do, I do it. Anything I'm afraid of, I confront it.
No one wants to go into the shovel. They want to choose the four-lane fucking highway. That's the nice route. The shovel means you're gonna fucking hurt. The shovel means you're gonna suffer. The shovel means you're gonna hit rock a lot of time. And we all know what digging through rock is like. This is when I decided to pick up that fucking shovel that we all decide not to take.
Hey man, look, I wanna tell you to keep going. I wanna tell you to keep going because when it all works out, you're gonna thank yourself for never giving up. You're gonna thank yourself for never cheating the process. You're gonna thank yourself for remembering it's a marathon. Not a sprint. No matter how hard it got, you never got off your pivot and you finished the race. You're gonna thank yourself for all of that.
You know, don't listen to anyone. Everybody's scared. You know, everyone tells you how things worked out, but it worked out for you that way. And then a lot of people will try to put their fears on you. You can't do that. No, you can do it. Right. You know what I'm saying? So they're just projecting, they're putting things that they don't believe that they can do on you.
Maybe it's my fault. Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym. Maybe I made you think that every shot I took was a game win.
How many years are you willing to waste in your life because you're following an outdated map? Whether we realize it or not, each of us grows up with a certain map for our lives. It's a map telling us where we should go, what we should do, and who we should become. The problem is, at some point our maps become out of date. The scariest moment isn't necessarily getting lost. It's realizing that you've been going in the wrong direction. So sometimes, you have to be willing to throw out the old maps and explore on your own.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Everybody wants to judge themselves through the lens of a moment. They want to be cool right now, today. And they're asking themselves, what's the least I need to do to feel cool? What's the least I need to do to be successful? But once I stopped asking that question and I started thinking about really who I could become and really harnessing the human ability to adapt, what people need to understand, humans have become the apex predator, not by being the strongest, not even by being the most intelligent, but rather by being the most adaptive to change. And when you realize all of us are born with nothing, no skills, no knowledge, nothing. We're a lump of flesh that can hardly hold our own head up. We can't take care of ourselves. We shit in our own pants. And our job isn't to be great today. Our job is to build ourselves brick by brick. And that is what separates the truly greats from everyone else. They're willing to put in that hard work. They're willing to reframe the question from what's the least I can do to what's the most I can bear. And when you're looking at yourself on that long timeline and you're saying, what can I accomplish over the next 10 years? What is the amount of suffering and back-breaking work that I'm willing to put in and endure in order to become something extraordinary? That's the key, is you actually have to perform. It's not about convincing someone else that you're cool or looking good on paper. It's about actually delivering a result. It's about actually becoming capable of the extraordinary. But you have to understand the way the mechanisms, the very anatomy of this human works. And it works by building things up brick by brick. It works by starting out terrible at something, incapable of something, and being willing to put in the work to grind it out to become that. And when people can move beyond the words, when they can move beyond that bullshit, trite stuff that people say, and they can transcend that and see what it means to actually put in work, to actually get good at something, to really think about improvement. Everybody just wants to see this shit come back to them. They want the fucking heavyweight of the ring. They want the jewels. They want the riches. They want the house, the cars. Or fuck all of that. Want the performance. Want to be great. Want to look at yourself and believe in who you've become. And even more importantly, if there's no one around to look, if there's no one around to impress, do I still push? And if at that point I'm still willing to push, if at that point in that circumstance I still want to be something and I still want to wring the potential out of myself and I want to actualize that potential, I want to actuate it, I want to actually do something with it even when nobody's watching, then I'll be proud of myself. Then I know I'll accomplish something because that's real. That's beyond the bullshit. And that's where people have to get if you really want to do something. Stop worrying about the echo and start worrying about the shout. Believe in who you can become tomorrow and let every day until the day you drop be about wringing that potential out of yourself. Be about building something and becoming something brick by brick. Putting in that day-to-day work of building something, of becoming capable of something today that you weren't capable of yesterday, of asking yourself how far you can go, of becoming obsessed with that process and no longer thinking about the end. And when you understand the difference between no longer focusing on being a champion and instead of delivering a championship performance, everything will change. Because it's the people who build themselves into someone who can give a championship performance that win.
Certainly the most destructive vice, if you like, that a person can have, more than pride, is self-pity. I think self-pity is the worst possible emotion anyone can have, and the most destructive. It destroys everything around it except itself. Self-pity will destroy relationships, it'll destroy anything that's good, it will fulfill all the prophecies it makes and leave only itself. It's so simple to imagine that one is hard done by and that things are unfair and that one is underappreciated, that if only one had had a chance at this, only one had had a chance at that, things would have gone better, you would be happier if only this, that one is unlucky, all those things. And some of them may well even be true, but to pity oneself as a result of them is to do oneself an enormous disservice. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. And you will be happy.
You don't have to scratch very far beneath the surface of most people's lives before you find something truly tragic.
The only way that change is going to take place is if you see the evidence of the collapse right in front of you. I think the challenge is that people have to wake up. And the question is, how uncomfortable do you have to become? And as I've said in the past, you know, you don't try to fix this. We just figure out a way to create something better.
You don't have till you're necessarily 65, 75, 85, and none of us know when that moment's going to come. And I believe we don't necessarily have time. All we have to make an impact is this moment right now. Tomorrow is not some guarantee that we have. It's not a right that we have. It's a privilege.
Repatterning. It's a process of rewiring. It's a process of reconditioning. It's a process of self-reflection and awareness and changing those beliefs. When you begin to realize then, well, I can't respond to the same conditions in my life with the same emotions and the same thoughts, because if I believe that the way I feel and the way I think creates reality, if I'm reacting to the same thoughts and feelings equal to the conditions in my life in the same way, then I keep reaffirming the same life.
The attachment and the identification of this conditioned sense of self that we have learned to be based on our past, based on our experiences, based on our childhood. We identify with these thought forms and we identify with these belief systems, and then we hold tightly onto this sense of identification as a sense of me is who you are, who you really are. Sometimes when you find your purpose, the real challenges just begin.
You're alone. You're alone. You may have a shrink you're going to, you may have a best friend you're going to, but there's 24 hours in the day where you're alone in this brain. And your brain is talking to you in all kinds of ways, and it wants to control you, pull you in these different pockets. You got to tell your brain where you want to go and how you want to go and how you want to get there. You got to control.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Life begins to throw these challenges and tests. Life's way of rewarding you is life believing in you. It knows, okay, you're on this path, so you must be ready. And so to me, the challenges and the hardships and the ups and the downs and the divorce and the breakups and the difficulties are just life's way of preparing your soul.
We're going to adapt and overcome now.
the power to do whatever it is you say you're going to do, to live with personal integrity. That is a superpower.
Most people, they major in minor things. They focus on stuff that doesn't matter. You look at your body, where you're starting. Without that, everything else is out the door. You don't want to be richest man in the graveyard. That's not going to do it. If there is energy, if there's vitality, if there's strength, it's going to show up in your relationship. It's going to show up in your business, show up in your life. That's an area you got to master. You can't dabble. It's too important. Emotions are everything. I mean, you got a ton of money, you got everybody loves you, and your primary emotions are pissed off and frustrated, then your life's pissed off and frustrated. It doesn't matter if you got $1 billion or 1 million people loving you, your life is not great. Relationships, intimate relationships especially, it's where the most juice in life comes from, it's where the most pain comes from most people. It's worth mastering instead of dabbling. You know, really looking at what are you going to do with your time and mastering your time. Instead of having a checklist, you cross it all off, you can mistake movement for achievement. I want to squeeze out of that time what matters, that creates value for me and for everyone I care about, love.
We have the world's information at our fingertips. We don't have the excuse of not knowing what to do anymore. Who doesn't know basically how to lose weight? Who doesn't know that if you want to have better relationships with people, you have to be fully present with them? Who doesn't know that if you want to do better at your job, you have to do the work, especially the hard stuff that other people don't want to do? We know these things. So there's no excuse anymore to say, well, I just didn't know how.
Most people focus on being significant. You live in a Facebook world where people fake their life, put new filters, make it look different than it really is, tell stories that, you know, are totally full of it to make themselves look good. Because we live in this kind of false world of significance is more important than love. It separates us. And the other one that we see most often is certain. People want to be certain before they can do something.
We're lacking the ability to avoid distraction. Getting ahead in life is not just about doing the right things. It's about avoiding not doing the wrong things. At the root cause of why we become distracted is because we feel these internal triggers, these uncomfortable emotional states that we seek to escape.
Well, in the psychological realm, everyone's going to measure themselves differently because everyone values things differently. Some people value success or significance. Some people value love more. Some value just basic levels of certainty. We all have a need for certainty that we can avoid pain and we can have some pleasure, some comfort. We all need uncertainty. We need variety, or we feel dead inside. If you're totally certain you're bored, if you have total variety, you would freak out. And it's not a balance. It's learning which of these you need more as a person. Everyone's going to have a different set of values in that area. The need for significance, to feel unique, special, important. The need to feel loved, the need to grow, and the need to contribute. What would happen if I turned my whole life around? What would happen if all of a sudden I went and learned some things that could change it all? Most people's lives, they fail primarily because they don't open up the possibilities, so they never take the actions that could change their life. And because I ask, how can I turn my life around? Now, what can I do to make things work? I started getting new answers. You know, they say, ask and you shall receive.
If you're about to make a change in your life and you feel uncomfortable, that's the best feeling you could have. Because for the first time in your life, you're making a decision that's going to be best for you and not what somebody told you to do. And that's when all bets are off, man, because you're about to enter some uncharted waters that's going to force you to challenge yourself to be perfect in so many ways. And shooting for perfection is all good.
Well, a habit is a redundant set of automatic, unconscious thoughts, behaviors, and emotions that's acquired through repetition. A habit is when you've done something so many times that your body now knows how to do it better than your mind. People wake up in the morning, they begin to think about their problems. Those problems are circuits, memories in the brain. Each one of those memories are connected to people and things at certain times and places. And if the brain is a record of the past, the moment they start their day, they're already thinking in the past. Each one of those memories has an emotion. Emotions are the end product of past experiences. So the moment they recall those memories of their problems, they all of a sudden feel unhappy, they feel sad, they feel pain.
Because we are wired to like what is familiar and to resist what's unfamiliar. And the most important thing to make familiar is praising yourself.
You have no idea of the breathtaking future that's on its way to you, that's asking you, please let me through. When you decide that you are good enough, when you decide you give yourself permission to have it all, have all the love, have all the health, when you give yourself permission, it's like the inside of your champion is saying, let me out.
You don't shoot for average, because you're not gonna hit all of that. If you shoot for perfection and you hit good or great, you win it. You have to make adjustments to achieve your goal.
Other people's opinion of you is none of your business. I'm saying be radical enough, be outrageous enough, be unapologetic enough to hold fear in one hand and passion in the other and leap anyway.
The people that you most admire, the people that have achieved at a level that you want to achieve, they are no different than you. They simply know what they want to become and they're paying the price to get there. That's it. Right now, between me and the person I want to be, between you and the person you want to be, there is a gap of skill set, and that's it. But once you know your mission, and once you believe that you can accomplish anything you set your mind to, then you can do the extraordinary. Now, for me, getting out of that space of being lost, of not knowing what I wanted to do with my life, it all came down to needing to earn credibility with myself in very small incremental ways.
Everyone has got three things wrong. The number one is I'm not enough. The second one is I'm different, so I can't connect. And the third is I really want something like freedom from depression or success, but it's not available. All of those things come from a feeling of emptiness inside, because we're taught, oh, you feel a feeling? Why don't you eat some donuts or go into eBay and buy or Amazon or have a drink? And our feelings are the most real thing we have. And we push them down. We find all this stuff to buy or eat or drink or take to keep us, like John Lennon said, comfortably numb. But then the feelings regroup and come back because they've always got a job to do.
Now, how you think and how you feel creates your state of being. So the person's entire state of being when they start their day is in the past. So what does that mean? The familiar past will sooner or later be predictable future.
Fear is an emotion like any other emotion. Fear is an emotion like love, like compassion. Fear is an emotion, we just gave it more power. Compassion, oh, that's nice. Fear, woo. We gave it a meaning. Fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear is a story that you've told yourself about something that might happen in the future.
It was about changing my identity. Because at the end of the day, identity and values drive behavior. So if you want to make a change, you have to change your vision of who you are. You have to begin telling yourself a different narrative. And the narrative you tell yourself about yourself is everything. We keep firing and wiring those circuits. They become more hardwired. So you have a thought and then the program runs. But it's the emotion that follows the thought. If you have a fearful thought, you're going to feel anxiety. The moment you feel anxiety, your brain's checking in with your body and saying, yeah, you're pretty anxious. So then you start thinking more corresponding thoughts equal to how you feel.
You've got to feel the feeling until it no longer requires to be felt. You can't eat it or drink it or shop it away, but we're all taught that we can and should.
When you want to do something in your life, you don't put options out there. You don't put a B plan. This is what you want to do. You commit to it. Because as you become successful, people will have definitions of who you are and also proclaim your level of success for what you should be accomplishing.
We have to begin to start living for something that's meaningful. We have to start living for something that has the capacity to not just impact our lives, but the lives of other people. Because human beings long for connection. We don't want money, we want connection. We want belonging.
Most people then wait for crisis or trauma or disease or diagnosis, you know, we wait for loss, some tragedy to make up their mind to change. And my message is, why wait? And you can learn and change in a state of pain and suffering, or you can learn and change in a state of joy and inspiration. And I think right now, the cool thing is that people are waking up.
If you keep it simple, you can find your voice. And also know that you operate off short-term goals. When you don't know where you're going in life, do not look 4 years down the line. Do not look 2 years or a year. You look next week, next month. You keep your goals short. And that way, as you accomplish those goals, then you can start pile up little trophies or little moments to know that you're actually accomplishing something. You're actually climbing the steps to success. And so I would tell people, shorten your goals, shorten your window, and that's how you find your voice.
Once I switched my narrative to being the learner, it didn't matter where I started, it only mattered where I was trying to go. And as long as I had that clarity, then I could execute, because I believed I could do anything I set my mind to without limitation.
Turns out most people spend 70% of their life living in survival and living in stress. So they're always anticipating the worst case scenario.
We want to finally find a place where we fit in this world. The only problem is that we don't fit in the world. Because if you're fitting in the world, you're not able to make the difference that you're here to make. It means that you've been dumbed down to a point of operating in the way, the same way every other member of the herd is operating. At that point, you become completely ineffective. This is why you are suffering. So you are weird for a reason. You care more about your self-image than you do about living in the truth of who you are.
I want you to imagine you're at the end of the road. And you know you're at the end of the road. Just imagine, all you can do is relive your life. I want you to imagine you're there and you go back and think, I wonder if we had to move there, what would have happened? And then, if I could only do it over again. I say, wouldn't that be terrible? Spend the last days of your life like that? Wouldn't it be better if you look back and say, wow, what a trip. When you lose it big enough, it can be exhilarating. And then we did this. And what you're doing is laying there and you're reliving your whole life.
Well, there's where the goals come in. That's where the purpose for life comes in. You got to have a main purpose. You got to have a purpose for life. And you've got to have meaningful goals. They've got to be meaningful. You're trading your life for it.
In immersive experiences. So a lot of us today, we live in this world which is like 10 minutes a day. Do it for 10 minutes a day, everything will be great. And that is great. There's nothing wrong with that. And meditation, mindfulness, all these habits are the same. The more you immerse yourself, the more you get an experience that stays with you, the more that you can live with that experience and keep going back to it for 10 minutes a day. So I really believe in immersive experiences. I love the 10-minute a day advice, but I also deeply believe in having a deep, immersive, absorbed experience that completely takes over your whole body, mind, and soul.
The biggest one I would say is never pick the easy road. Never. Never. And it always goes back to kind of the hero mentality. Never pick the easy road. Ever in your life. That is the one road that is doomed. It is doomed. You may achieve what you wanted, but you want the permanent fix. The permanent fix comes from the hard road. The hard road gives you permanent. The easy road gives you the quick fix. You will go back to where you started on the easy route. That hard route is so permanent that it ends up callousing you everywhere. Everywhere.
Have you come here to avoid life or to experience life? Experience life, all the different dimensions of what this life holds, must happen to you, isn't it so? If you come to avoid life, if you feel insecure, that's what you will do. You will try to avoid life. When you're alive and try to avoid life, it'll cause immense misery. When you're alive, you live. When you die, you die. Don't get up from the dead.
Visualization is a gift to your heart and your soul. It's a gift. Because if the idea is the seed, visualization is the fertilizer. It's the fertilizer. Because when your thoughts are connected with an emotion, see, you visualize yourself winning. And you would feel all the emotion that came with that. And all you're doing now is you're not chasing a foreign emotion. You know the feeling. And now you're just doing what's necessary to get back to that feeling in real time. And it's really important in the visualization. You can't see it over there. You have to see it right here. You got to feel it right here. Like, I am. It's all I am. I am. I am in my dream home. I am in my dream relationship. And then unpack what that looks like. But most importantly, unpack what it feels like. And when you have that emotion in this moment, all of a sudden you stir up something that I don't think will ever go back to sleep. It'll go, okay, let's go get that.
I have a philosophy that every moment, every precious nanosecond and moment is perfect. And so when I connect to the perfection of that moment, there's really nothing to do. It's to be aware and to allow, to surrender, but not to give up surrender, but to understand that, you know, as you know, we're talking right now, the oceans don't need any instruction what to do. The planets that are moving in their elliptical orbits around the sun don't need yours or my intervention. The universe, the Milky Way galaxy that's, you know, flowing through the universe at 1.5 miles per hour doesn't need using my instruction. So that means that every moment is perfect. So I want to connect to the perfection of every single moment, be aware of that every single moment.
So life is, there has never been a point, any time, and there never will be, where everything is perfect. Okay? There's no such thing. Because life is a possibility. Because it's a possibility, it cannot be perfect. Doesn't matter what we do, there's still something more to do.
Set your life on fire and seek those who fan your flames.
Hey, Will, I want to be an actor, man. I want to be an actor just like you.
People say stuff to me like that. I'm like, yeah, man, you know, you do is give them an encouraging word. But I was just sitting here thinking, and it dawned on me, 99% of people that say stuff like that are not willing to do what it takes to make their dreams come true. And that's just real. At the center of bringing any dream into fruition is self-discipline. Your mind, it's getting command of your mind to be able to choose actions that are in your own best interest. Every day, we are choosing that's not in our own best interest, right? So if the world is attacking you and the world wants to fight you and the world's trying to hold you down, that you will stop yourself from getting what you're dreaming.
You cannot make a person happy.
You can make a person smile, you can make a person feel good, you can make a person laugh, but whether or not a person is happy is deeply and totally and utterly out of your control.
Being realistic is the most commonly traveled road to mediocrity. There's a contribution to the world inside of me that I can't reach. There's a thing that I'm supposed to be doing. There's a person that I want to be that I always saw the reflection in my grandmother's eyes, you know, of what it is, but I can't reach that thing. There's so much more that I feel that I have to offer that I can't access in myself.
We tend to base our self-esteem on what other people think. And that's not really self-esteem. Self-esteem is supposed to be how we feel about ourselves. I was just saying how dangerous it is to allow other people to determine how you're going to feel about you.
There's no easy way around it. No matter how talented you are, your talent is going to fail you if you're not skilled. If you don't study, if you don't work really hard and dedicate yourself to being better every single day.
You wake up in the morning, your life means something to somebody other than you. To live in service, not to you, but to live in service to humanity.
The road to success is through commitment and through the strength to drive through that commitment when it gets hard. And it is going to get hard and you're going to want to quit sometimes, but it'll be colored by who you are and more who you want to be.
Self-discipline is the center of all material success. Cannot win the war against the world if you can't win the war against your own mind.
Because I was like, I want to be the biggest movie star in the world. I look at skill and talent separately. Like, Pete, you're born with talent. You know, it's like there's certain things that you just do naturally. You were gifted with a talent. But skill is acquired through discipline. You know, I've never seen myself as particularly talented. Where I excel is I'm willing to die in the process of acquiring skill.
The concept of improving lives runs through the center of everything I do. And then I realized that the way to improve lives is to continually improve yourself. Good people have to get out of the bed every day and try to empty the ocean with a ladle.
It is your commitment to your personal evolution, your personal growth, for the purpose of assisting others. Life is hard, right? Like, yeah, you might get hurt. Your heart might get broken. You still gotta commit. Don't hesitate. Go. Commit. You gotta commit. You know, you might get hurt. You might lose something. But it's like, you can't experience the joy that is intended for you in life if you don't go.
We actually have to cultivate a taste for peace. We're actually addicted to things that agitate and aggravate us. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to be still. And I'm going to be alone.
Prerequisite for spending time with any person is that they nourish and inspire you. They feed your flame. Put your phone down for just a second and look around. Look to the people around you. Are those people throwing logs on your fire or are they pissing on it? The people that you spend time with are going to make or break your dreams. Everybody don't deserve to be around you. You got to defend your light with your life.
Road to sustained happiness is through disciplining your behavior. But it is for damn sure your responsibility to figure out how to take that pain and how to overcome that and build a happy life for yourself. Fault and responsibility do not go together as socks. But they don't. But something is somebody's fault. We want them to suffer. We want them punished. We want them to pay. We want it to be their responsibility to fix it. But that's not how it works, especially when it's your heart. Your heart, your life, your happiness is your responsibility and your responsibility alone. Taking responsibility, accepting responsibility is not an admission of guilt. Taking responsibility is a recognition of the power that you seize when you stop blaming people.
And, you know, I want to be the biggest movie star in the world. I studied that and I worked out and I got my body crazy and I did, you know, just got my head around doing everything I could do to be the biggest movie star in the world. And then I had a taste of that. And I realized that even though I had achieved all those things, on the inside, I was still that same insecure little boy. And what I realized is that the only sustainable mission throughout your whole existence is to improve lives. There weren't a lot of people I saw do things that I felt like I couldn't do, right? When I look at people and I see things, I don't feel like I can't. Whether or not I will is something different, but I don't ever feel like I can't.
Like, taking responsibility is an act of emotional self-defense. Taking responsibility is taking your power back. To be that guy that does what people say can't be done. I want to be the person that is the first person there and the last person to leave. Route to success is through commitment.
And God placed the best things in life on the other side of terror.
And to people who are watching, Confucius said one time, he says he can and he says he can't are both usually right. I want you to keep in your heart, just know that you can.
Never allow my fear to limit me. I'll figure out how to get past it. I think the thing that you should be afraid of most would probably be being alone. And I've been on my own since I can remember.
So you went for permission? You want me to go under you and you asking permission? But I'm not listening to nobody. You see, I do better when I listen to me.
You know, I had to convince myself that I'm going to make it.
A lot of people probably think I was born fearless. I might project that energy, but it's not true. I was scared of the dark as a child.
It shifted me. It's either when you get hurt that bad, either your fear consumes you or you become a bit insensitive and you'll start to approach the problem instead of run from it. I never ran from anything because I didn't have nobody to go to. I've always had it where I'm going. Only get me?
I've experienced anxiety and angst of all kinds. The difference is I refuse to allow myself to grow comfortable in all those fears. Comfort, I learned, is a dream killer. It saps our ambition, blinds our vision, promotes complacency. The number one thing most people are comfortable with is fear.
There's going to be points that people are going to mistake my confidence for arrogance. Because they don't understand the process I went through and how much I had to believe in myself in order to make these things happen. I feel like you can will yourself into a good space. Mm-hmm. Things that are meant to happen will. And if you believe in yourself enough, you can help yourself learn. No matter how much you feel like you're prepared for something, it never happens on your time, like when you think you're ready, like it's supposed to happen. It always happens when it's supposed to happen.
I think if you do things on other people's terms, that it's just wrong for your life. If I had to be different in order to make it happen, I wouldn't be being me and it wouldn't be the right thing.
Well, when you're in life-threatening situations, it makes you a little more conscious of death. You know, and the more that you are aware of your fate, the higher the probability you have a chance to live.
Ask someone if they're living in a constant state of fear, and they'll probably say, of course not. That's just pride talking, though. Fear dominates most people's lives. Fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear of loneliness. I don't think there's anything shameful about experiencing fear. A little bit of paranoia is actually extremely helpful. There are a lot of real dangers out there. A lot of people with bad intentions. Being aware of those possibilities makes it easier to avoid them. What you cannot do is become complacent with any of those fears. If you feel lost, you can't spend your life avoiding intimacy and love, something I've struggled with. If you fear failure, you can't stop taking risks. If you fear the unknown, you can't stop trying new experiences.
You see what I'm saying? And we got some people that have just decided not to try. They're more comfortable in a tent with nothing on their schedule every day. That's, some of them make the decision to just get the tent and feel no pressure to make it or no pressure to do anything. You know what I mean? And that's just, I can't comprehend the thinking. Like, you know, my thought process is so different from them that I can't relate to it.
When I say get rich or die trying in a literal fashion, I think they took it where I meant I'm determined, I'm going to make it, or I'm putting everything on the line here.
It is not death a man should fear, said the Roman emperor and philosopher Marcus Aurelius. But he should fear never beginning to live.
Some people, they have the trait of, like, let's say the person is across the street, they look at you, they don't like you from across the street. Some people feel the need to go across the street to say, why, I'm a good person. I don't give a fuck.
Now I'm fucking say you crazy, call me crazy, you know I be thinking when they say that? Yeah, I'm crazy, I be thinking, yep. I was crazy enough to believe what the fuck I was saying gonna happen was gonna happen. And that's why I was persistent enough and consistent enough to exist now.
Being persistent, right? The only thing that separates people is passion. Having the ability to focus on something or to work on it will allow you to work hard enough to be good enough at it. That's the Kobe Bryant run. He outworked those people. He, like, you know, a lot of people in the league perform according to their paycheck. So they're like, I ain't getting that money, let them do it.
I think the things you go through make you who you are. I don't regret those things.
Well, I think ambition is a part of a person's character, it isn't a learned behavior. You know, so I'll always be looking forward to move to the next level where there's different opportunities open up for me. I'll explore them. Like, so I can't put a limit to how far I can actually go.
Get rich or die trying, right? In the process, because that's already what I'm feeling like I'm going to do. I'm in the process. It's the greatest thing is to watch me, because either I'm going to get rich or I'm going to die in the process. And then if I die in the process, I was doing what I wanted to do.
I can trace the roots of my own sense of fearlessness back to one specific event, the death of my mother. That's a special kind of fear, one that is hard to describe.
I didn't communicate well with the loss of my mom. I actually never really spoke to anybody about it. She was everything. Like, she was like my mother, my father. My mom met me at 15. So it felt like the only real option would be to actually hustle at that point from her, I believe. I don't think she would agree with me going in that direction to hustle. I don't think she wanted that for me. You know, but the other part, the music and everything else that happened, I think she'd be really proud of me.
Losing my mother was the most significant thing that ever happened to me. Even in middle age, I could still feel her loss. But through her death, my mother managed to give me a rare gift, the seed of fearlessness.
I don't mind losing. I just like to lose at my expense, let it be my fault. If I'm losing based on someone else's decision to do it, I'm furious about it. Because I'm like, I could have learned it and made better judgment myself than to just allow that to happen. I got instincts. A lot of people will gauge your level of intelligence by you having an associate's, bachelor's, or a master's degree. But a lot of those people retain information long enough to pass midterms and never use it.
I also came to understand another important truth. I wasn't comfortable being scared. That may seem like an obvious thing to say, but I think it's actually what makes me unique. Most people are extremely comfortable with their fears. Afraid of flying? Stay off of planes. Afraid of failure? Well, then don't even try. A lot of people live their entire lives that way. Not me. I hated being scared. I hated looking over my shoulder. To me, hiding would have almost been worse than getting shot. In some ways, the physical pain I endured was my friend. It pushed me further than most people are willing to go.
See, for the guy at the schoolyard, doesn't want to fight, always leads to the black eye. The moment that you show people that you're not willing to fight, they want to fight. You change the feelings. Do you want to feel like you're afraid all the time? Or do you start to become the aggressor? And you start saying, you know what? You ain't got to find me because I'm looking for you. And then it changes everything.
Try the treadmill with no music. See how long you do that. Because you'll be in your head so much and you hear yourself breathing, you ain't gonna do it as long as you usually do it. And you can put the music on and just go. It takes your mind off of it. You can do the work.
When fear interrupts your routine or makes you rethink it in any way, it's gotten its hooks deep into you and will hold you back forever. Cowards die many times before their death, wrote Shakespeare. The valiant never taste of death but once. I wasn't trying to go out like a coward. The best way to get past a fear that's holding you back is first to acknowledge it and then come up with a plan to get past it. So that's what I did. First, I accepted that I was afraid.
I feel like I can't change it. That's that I'm misunderstood. You know, my confidence is mistaken for arrogance constantly. You know, people don't actually understand my intentions a lot of the time. Because what I've offered is myself. So there's artists out there that can beat me at doing different things, but not at being me. Can't nobody beat me at being that.